All right, in our few minutes that we have left remaining, I'd like to draw your attention to Mark chapter 8 this evening. Mark chapter 8, and beginning at verse 22, I want to share some thoughts just in my own heart and mind as I've read through some of the miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ and some of the unique miracles. There are three that are recorded in which the Lord spat either on the individual or onto the ground and made a clay poultice to put on the eyes. And it's always been interesting to me what the Lord was doing in each of those events. And Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 22, gives us a hint at what our Lord was doing and His immense kindness that was demonstrated in those events. And I want to start with this one. This is the last of the three, by the way. All of them took place in Galilee in His ministry there. This takes place in Bethsaida. This is one of the towns that the Lord had cursed, pronounced a curse upon. And He cometh to Bethsaida, verse 22, and they bring a blind man unto Him and besought Him to touch him. Now that is striking. They just asked the Lord, just touch him and heal him. And He took the blind man by the hand. Do you have to touch somebody to grab them by the hand? Yes. Was the man healed at that moment? No, he was not. And He led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to anyone in the town. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Now, what's the commonality between what followed and what took place with the blind man? In both cases, he issued this statement, don't tell anyone, all right? Don't tell anyone. Keep it to yourself. Now, you know, we certainly do not know the reasons for some of the things that have happened in the past, the reasons that things happen today, things that are allowed. God is working nonetheless. Was the blind man healed? Yes. Did Peter give the right answer? Yes, he did. He said, thou art the Christ. What was Jesus doing whenever he said, don't tell anybody at this point? All kinds of speculations from scholars down through the centuries about why Jesus did that. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think we know what the Lord was doing at that particular point. Have you ever tried to keep a secret? You know how hard that is? In both cases, this blind man, how do you not tell people that you can see? That's what's so striking to me. Don't tell anybody. Now, just in the previous chapter, look over chapter 7 for just a moment. And look with me, beginning at verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Again, touch him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, And he spake plain, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. Now here, in these two chapters, three times, our Savior says, don't tell anybody. Now again, here's a human who now can hear and now can speak. And Jesus says to him, don't tell anybody. And the more he tried to get them not to tell, they told anyway. Now, I cannot stand here tonight and say I have the answer. I just don't know. And I don't think anybody else fully knows either. It may give speculation on that, and that's fine, whatever your opinion might be. But I don't think we know. And this is one of those things I think is the elephant in the room that nobody seems to notice. You know, I think if we opened up the double doors and brought an elephant in here, most of you'd say, there's an elephant in the auditorium, right? I mean, you'd say, that's not normal. We don't generally bring elephants into the auditorium. But this seems to be, to me, the elephant in the room. And it's this, I think, that we can take away tonight. Our Lord performed miracles. We haven't got time to go look at John chapter 9. There's the instance there of the blind man that receives his sight, and they don't believe him. And so the Pharisees go get his parents. And the parents, they're scared to death of the Pharisees. They don't know what to say. But said, yeah, he was born blind, but how he can see now, we don't know. And then they charged the parents and said, you're not telling the truth. They said, we are telling the truth. This man is of age. Let him tell you. So they go back to him again, and they end up throwing this man out, saying he's lying. Now, he lied for all those years. He could really see. No, he was born blind. The parents said he was blind from birth. In all these cases, in these three that I've mentioned, John chapter 9, he spat upon the ground and made a poultice and put it upon his eyes and then said, go to the pool and bathe yourself. And when he went to the pool and bathed himself, he received his sight. And the Pharisees just could not handle that. And in those three cases there, the Lord spat. He actually, and this is what I think is kind of interesting, just on my perspective, he mixed his DNA with the DNA of another human being. Do you realize saliva has mitochondrial DNA from the mother? All right? That's how they're able to identify people at a crime scene. All they need is saliva. And it has the mitochondria. Now, think about that in relationship to Jesus. Did he have a human father? No. But he did have a mother, human mother. And he chose in that instance to spit in the man's eye. Now, first of all, we're repulsed by that. All right? If somebody came up and spit in my eye, I'd take all I could do to keep from decking him. All right? It is the most disgusting thing I think you could do. But in that culture, in that day, it didn't seem to be that offensive. You don't see the blind man say, what are you doing? Why are you spitting in my eye? No, he doesn't do that. In each one of the cases, you don't see any offense by that. But why did the Lord tell them this miraculous healing? He told them, don't tell anyone. How many of you think you'd be busting at the seams? I put my hand up. I'd be busting at the seams. I can see. I can hear. And just speaking for the man whose tongue was, he just stammered. He was not able to communicate. He's talking now, clearly. Everybody knew something had happened. He had been healed. My point is this tonight. Do we have to know everything about why our Lord does certain things a certain way? We live in a world that thinks it has to know everything. All right? And we're not satisfied until we figure it out, until we know everything. But God, I think, put this in the Word to teach us that we don't have to know everything. All we need to do is trust. The man that was in my office this morning had been told by his priest that when he died, they would say the last rites over him, and he would be ushered probably to purgatory. He said, I was told by my priest I'd have to spend time in purgatory, and then I would be able to get out later. They still teach that, by the way. If you've had someone tell you, oh, Roman Catholic, they don't teach that anymore. Oh, yes, they do. He was told by his priest, and he said, that's not good enough for me. That's not good enough for me. I want to know the second I die what's going to happen to me. And I said, the Bible's told us that. Without Christ, the second you die, you head off to a place known as hell. And one day that will be taken and dumped into the lake of fire. The Bible makes that very clear. The Bible knows nothing of a purgatory. And I said, secondly, the church is telling you what's going to happen, and no reference. I said, did they take a Bible and show you from the Bible what was going to happen? No, sir. Now, there were some things he needed to know. And God's clearly given his gospel, amen? He's given his gospel. He's told us everything we need to know about salvation in Christ. And I can hang my life on the truth of the Word of God that the moment my heart stops beating, absent from the body, present with the Lord. God has made that known to us. But there are still many things that I don't know. Just because we go to heaven, everybody's made the assumption, well, we'll just find out the answers to everything that ever happened. I don't know whether we will or not. I don't find in the Scriptures where it says God will tell us everything that happened on earth. We'll know everything that there is to know. I don't know that. You know why I don't think we'll know? Because we're not God. We won't have the capacity. You know how we get maxed out and you go home at night or you get up during the day? How many of you forgot to do something today? All right? Well, you forgot to do something that you had planned on doing. Most people don't want to put up their hands. I understand that. All right, I got that. But you know what? We forget things. We get busy. Does God forget things when He's busy? Now, I don't think we have the capacity, even in our righteous state in heaven with a new body, I don't think we'll have the capacity like God. Do I hear an amen? So there are just some things that we have to content ourselves with that I just won't know. I don't know. And that's okay. It's okay to say, I don't know. Boy, I've had some questions through the years, and I've had to tell people, I said, I'm sorry, I just don't know. I just don't know. I said, all I know is what God has told us in His Word. That's all we know. You can speculate, but that's not knowing. That's guessing. Aren't you thankful tonight that you don't have to guess about the truths of the gospel and the truths of the grace of God and His mercy that's been demonstrated in Jesus Christ through the cross work, through His resurrection? We know. And I told him, I said, you know, 1 John chapter 5 and verses 12 and 13 says that we can know that we have eternal life. We can know because we know the person of eternal life. But there are many things still in His Word that we may never know. And we just have to be satisfied
that I'm not God. That's one of the greatest lessons of life. I'm not God. Do you realize how many people in this world think they're God? You know, I've been smitten by this fact, and this has all come out after the COVID, post-COVID, that we were not allowed to question medical doctors that said this, that, or the other. You were banned on social media, and all this is coming out now of pressures from government on these Facebook and Instagram and all to silence anybody that dared to question. What is that? That's an effort to be like God, is it not? How dare you question? How dare you think outside our box? We need to understand something. There's a lot of things that I just don't know. And that's okay. But what am I to do? I'm to trust my God. I don't always trust my government. And you better never let go of that. When you get into the framework where you just trust everything that mankind says, or government says, or your neighbor says, or CNN says, or Fox News says, it must be the gospel. Don't be a fool. The one thing you can trust is whatever is in this precious book right here. Whatever God says, I can trust that. Why did Jesus tell them? Don't say a word. Don't tell anybody. You know the Mark 8 blind man? We have no record that he told anybody. He said, when the Lord spat on him, he said, I see men like trees. I've always had a chuckle. You know, the Lord has a little bit of humor that if somebody spit in your eye and you're trying to wipe it out, guess what men would look like? Yeah. And so the Lord rubbed him a little bit more, and when he opened his eyes, he could see. And the Lord charged him, don't go out and tell anybody. And we have no record that he went out and told anybody. But I still don't know all the reasons why. I just trust the Lord that he had a purpose. And if he chooses one day to get us all together in heaven and say, hey, listen, everybody, I'm going to tell you why I told that blind man not to tell anybody. If he so chooses to do that, that'll be wonderful. But if God says, that's not for you to know, are we going to be okay with that? Let's think for just a moment. Am I willing to say, I just don't know, and that's fine? You know what it's an admission of? I'm not God. I'm not God. I'm just human. And Jesus is the God-man. And if he so chooses not to tell, that's perfectly fine. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. What a humbling series of parables we find, or actual facts that took place, recordings of events from the past of how your Son, Jesus Christ, spat on the ground and spat in the eyes. He spat upon the mouth of a man that could not speak clearly. These individuals were healed, but then he told them not to tell anybody. Oh, how hard that must have been. And in the case of the man with the tongue issue, he just went out and told everybody. He was so excited about being able to hear and to speak. And that's totally understandable as far as our human nature is concerned, but we don't know all the reasons why the Lord said that. Help us, Father, to humble ourselves under your mighty hand and realize that there are some things that you may choose not to tell us. And that's okay, because we don't have the capacity to understand and know everything. We're not God. And we need to be reminded of that, because we're living in a time period in our history where men actually think they can be God. And we're going to be reminded in the future that we are not.
And I pray that we might learn and understand that we're to humble ourselves under your mighty hand, and we're to accept, and we're to trust, and we're to rest in Jesus Christ alone. We thank you, Father, for your word. We ask now your blessing as we go our ways. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.